Lord. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in splendor, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. In your steadfast love, you led the people whom you redeemed. You guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The peoples heard, they trembled. Pangs seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. Trembling seized the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan melted away. Terror and dread fell upon them. By the might of your arm, they became still as a stone, until your people, O Lord, passed by. Until the people whom you acquired passed by. You brought them and planted them on the mountain of your own possession. The place, O Lord, that you made your abode. The sanctuary, O Lord, that your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. When the horses of Pharaoh, with his chariots and his chariot drivers, went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing, and Miriam sang to them. Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. Then Moses ordered Israel to set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. That is why it is called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he put them to the test. He said, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give heed to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will not bring upon you any of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they camped there by the water. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Almighty God, may your written word be our rule, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. Amen. We do want to welcome everyone in the sanctuary, in the U Cafe, and at the Indigo Hotel. And we have plans A, B, C, and D, and we thank you for your patience with us week by week. We want to not exceed the capacity of this building, and so we are looking at some other options. Again, if you are an early riser, I encourage you to help us in the short term by coming to one of the earlier services. At 3 p.m. yesterday, we handed over the keys of Union Church at 22A Kennedy Road to the contractor. And then people filed away. Now, I had a whole bunch of stuff, and I was a little delayed and a little respective. And by the time I got down to Kennedy Road, everyone had gone. There were cars, but the cars were gone. So I started trudging with my load of stuff down Kennedy Road when the 28 bus came by. I said, "Oh, here's my chance." So I flagged down the bus. I got everything into the bus, the doors closed, and then I realized I'd given my octopus card to one of my sons. No problem, change. No, there was no change. I had
one Hong Kong dollar in my pocket. So I opened my wallet and I had a $500 bill, a $100 bill, and a $50 bill. And I thought, oh great, this is going to be the most expensive minibus ride I've ever taken. When there was a tap on my shoulder, and a Filipino helper handed me $6 for the fare. And I said, I can't take this. And she said, pay. So I paid. She must have known the bus driver better than I did. And then I offered her my $50 note. And she then took a collection. There was money changing, and by the time I stopped, I got all my money back, and she got her money back. She might even made a profit. But it was wonderful how a bunch of strangers kind of had a common mission, a common goal, and that mission was accomplished. When we work together, extraordinary things happen. When we work with God, extraordinary things happen. The nation of Israel had just witnessed a miracle. Pharaoh and his mighty army, chariots and all, were defeated, were drowned at the Red Sea. The nation of Israel passed through the Red Sea on dry land. And on the other side, the very first thing they did was worship. They praised God. And we read part of the song that Moses wrote and that Miriam wrote. Moses, the leader, Miriam, the prophet. And they look back to the past, they look forward to the future. Who among you? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. Talking about the Egyptian army. And then they go on to say that a whole bunch of nations are about to be surprised, that God is going to do a great work. The love of God, the faithfulness of God, and the rule of God is what this song talks about. Now, I got a little uneasy as I read this because Moses was known as a very modest person. If I were to write a praise song that this wonderful group would sing, it would be full of me, 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 I, we. And if we look at our praise music, a lot of it is focused on us, our emotion, our commitment, but not Moses. Moses and Miriam are focused on this great God. And the nation of Israel is singing God's praises. Great place to start. But then, verse 22 through 27, a pattern emerges that is going to be found throughout the entire time that the nation of Israel is in the wilderness. And if we're honest, I think you might recognize the pattern in your own life. Over and over and over, this pattern happens. But before we look at those verses in particular, I invite your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, Deuteronomy, the second book, looking at the Exodus from a little different perspective, 8:2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. Why? To humble you and to test you whether or not you would keep his commands. God is going to test. He's going to discipline the nation of Israel. Does anyone know how long it would take to go from Egypt to the promised land if you went a quick, direct route?
11 days.
11 days. That's absolutely right. Why did it take 40 years? There was some testing, some discipline. God was forming his people, and it was going to take time. I wish I could send up in front of you and say, accept Jesus and your life will be constant praise and joy and peace. There will be ups, there will be downs. Paul tells us in Philippians 1:6, I'm confident of this, that he who began the good work in you will bring it to completion. God is in control. God wants to test us, to prepare us, to make us more like his son. Well, now we go back to Exodus 15:22. They had this wonderful service of praise and worship, and then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. And for 3 days they traveled, and they were getting really thirsty. So they were looking for water. And then they came to a place that's called Marah, which means bitter, and they found water. But it was water they could not drink. In fact, one of the accurate Hebrew translations, there is no way we can drink this water. So first of all, there's praise and there's worship. And then there's a problem. Woe is us. I am so thirsty. And then the people grumbled against Moses. They complained. Now, if you're going to say one thing about the people in the desert, they were consistent. They were consistent in their moaning and their groaning and their grumbling. But I don't think they're alone. How many of you have complained at least once this week? Either you are the least honest of our three services, or you're the most mature and godly. I'm not sure which it is. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, says that many Christians have the gift of grumbling. And I think we do. When things don't go our way, we criticize everyone but ourselves. Now, as time goes on, they're going to quit just criticizing their leaders. They're going to start criticizing God. But at this point, they're moaning, they're groaning, they're whinging about the fact that they have needs that are not being met. See how this is unfolding? Praise, then a problem, and then a protest. But notice what Moses does. If there's one thing you can take away, I think this is something you should take away. Moses prays. He says, God, we've got a problem here. Now, here's what the takeaway. I would encourage you, when you're tempted to go public with your criticism or your moaning or your groaning, pray first. Just try that this week. Believe me, it's not easy. Complaints and criticism come that fast, but why not, when you have a problem in your life, pray first? That's what Moses did. Moses prayed. And then God provided. This is not the stick he threw in the water. This is a stick I found walking on Bowen Road last night. I had plenty to choose from. But I'm wondering what kind of stick it was. And some of the commentators are quite thick. Well, the water was bitter, and there was some kind of wood with a medicinal agent in it that transformed the bitter water into sweet water. I think it was a miracle. And a stick is going to appear time and time again with Moses. But God said, take a stick, throw it in the water, and the water became drinkable. God provided. That wonderful song, Jehovah Jireh, the meaning of Jehovah Jireh is God provides. There's praise, there's a problem, there's a protest, then there's prayer, and then God provides. Over and over and over, it's a pattern. And then there's peace. God said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who healed you. Wonderful book in a generation past. No other diseases. God is a healing God. God brings wellness. Woe is me, things are falling apart. But then God brings wellness. And this could actually be translated peace, shalom. In verse 27, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. So they went to this place called Elim, and there were 12 springs. Interesting. What's significant about the number 12? 12 tribes of Israel. What's significant about the number 70? Very interesting. In Jewish thought, it meant completeness and unity. Wellness. Shalom. And as they're beginning their desert walk, they get a glimpse of the promised land. Elim is just an example, as an oasis of what things are going to be like in the future as we begin our journey. Now, I have more time to preach this service than the other two, but I won't take all of it. But I would encourage you to keep reading in 16 and 17, because guess what happens? The same pattern is repeated. There's only one thing left out. The nation of Israel didn't stop at Elim with all the water and say, praise God and worship. Worship disappears. Their expectation, well, God will give them what they deserve. So they go out, and this time it's, oh, I'm so hungry. And then, when I was a little boy, I read the King James, the Authorized Version, and said they longed for the flesh pots of Egypt. I wonder, what is a flesh pot? But it was a meat pot. They look back, and they're complaining, and they said, oh, things were so good in Egypt. Were they good in Egypt? No. But they complained, they whinged, they moaned. And then God heard their complaints. Moses prayed, and God provided manna. Very, very interesting. Every day it fell. It was bread that tasted like honey. Did they worship? No. They kept going. Oh, we're so thirsty again. Woe is us. Bad Moses. Moses prays to God. God says, take your staff, hit the rock. And there was water. But then was there praise? Was there worship? No. There was just an entitlement mentality that, hey, God, you're going to take care of me. Do your job. And we could scold them. Until we look in the mirror and say, that sounds like somebody I know. I fit the job description for being in this long march. This week, I had my devotions online. It's the first time I've ever done this, and it's been hard for me even to read the screen. I need usually a book, but I read this, and it talked about love, kindness, and patience. And I prayed that morning, Lord, help me to be loving, kind, and patient. And I had maybe the second or third worst day I've ever had in Hong Kong. Everything went wrong. And this phrase, love, kindness, and patience, was like imprinted in my brain. And I do have to admit that I went AWOL. I was gone for an hour and a half because there was no way I could be around people and be loving and kind and patient. And sometimes being loving and kind and patient is just to get out of the way. Then the day ends, Holly and I go out to eat with someone from the church. And what happens when you invite the pastor out for a meal? You want the pastor to pray, right? That's part of the job. And I'm going, man, this hasn't been a real good day. Lord, give me the strength to be grateful and thankful in this prayer. And our host said, you probably pray a lot. Let me pray. And I was expecting her to bless the food, which she didn't. She started off saying, dear Lord, help me to be loving and kind and patient. And I was like, whoa. And I talked to her, did you get us on an internet devotional? No. She said, I've had a pretty difficult life. And I've learned about love and kindness and patience. And she has. And whether it's 11 days or 40 days or 40 years, God has each of us on a pilgrimage. God has a very special plan for you, for your family, and for this congregation. And let's not put the focus on us. God's going to provide. Don't worry about that. He who began work will bring it to completion. That may we, in our interactions with each other, have more praise than protest, and peace, and kindness, and love, and patience. And God will use us in ways we can't begin.